few weeks ago, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Our reflection is protection and deliverance. A person or thing that prevents someone or something from suffering harm are the Greek word to rush, to rescue. And we began looking at the seven truths about temptation. All right, how many did we get done? We got four, didn't we? Here they are. Here's the four. You should already have them in your note. Number one, you are not immune from temptation. If you're breathing, you will experience temptation. It is assumed in our lives. Jesus was tempted. You will be tempted. You need to be prepared for that. And there's the scriptures we looked at. Number two, this is great news, isn't it? Jesus is interceding for you. Whenever you're being tempted, Jesus is interceding for you. Just like he did for Peter, remember, in John. When he told Peter, he said, hey, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. I think Peter thought the next statement would be, but I'm not going to let him. That's not what he said, is it? He said, I'll be praying for you, Peter. And I'm going to pray that your faith remains strong. And when you go through this and come back, you're going to strengthen the brethren. And you're going to hear, that's going to be one of our points this week about one of the fruits of temptation. Then number three and four, we looked at God has divine limits on your temptation. You know, God's not going to allow us to be tempted above that which we were able. That's a promise. You cannot ever say, well, that temptation was just too much for me. No, God has put divine limitations on the enemy, the tempter. Thank goodness, because he could take you out this afternoon if that wasn't true. So know that when temptation comes, hey, I'm able. Number four, God has a divine escape for every temptation. Is that good news? Is that good news? When you get on an airplane or when you go into a theater, what should you be looking for? Exits, right? Where are the exits? And then mark them down. That's good. That's a good thing to know where the exits are. In school, we practiced, right? We had fire drills, so we knew what to do when it happened. What happens to believers are we never even think that way, and so when things come our way, we don't know what to do. And I want you to always look for the exits. Practice. If this happens to me, what am I going to do? God has a divine escape for every single temptation. That is his promise. Claim it. Now, let's move to 5, 6, and 7 real quickly. We can do this, all right? First, God does not tempt us to do evil. And you know, I hear people talk sometimes like maybe God's setting them up. He's not. God's heart is not to tempt you to do evil. In fact, in James 1, verse 13, we find these words. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Wow. Well, then explain something to me. Why is this in the prayer? Because it sure sounds like we're asking God not to lead us to that place. In fact, in Luke 4 and Matthew 5, Jesus had just been in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came, fell on him, said, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. He got up from that place, and the scripture says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, that seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it? Is it true? And James says, no, God wouldn't do that to us. Well, I want you to be real careful how you look at this scripture. Jesus did not ask us to pray that God would not tempt us, but that he would not lead us into temptation. Write it down. God is not the tempter. However, he knows about future temptations. When Jesus was led into the wilderness, did God know that the devil was waiting for him? Yeah. Does God know every temptation you're ever going to face? Yeah. He already knows about it, and if that's true, then I'm including this in my prayer. God, you know what's coming my way. Please help me, Lord. Don't lead me into temptation. But what's the conjunction? See, Jesus knew what he was saying, but deliver me from the evil one. He was saying, God's not the problem. It's the enemy who's tempting us, the evil one. Our prayer is that God would deliver us and help us get through times of temptation, right? Well, let's look at what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonica 3, 1 through 5. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians to the Thessalonican church in verses 1 through 5. So when he could stand it no longer, you ever felt that way? When you could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens, and he sent Timothy to the church. Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. And you need to know something, that the word temptation, trials, testing, all the same word, can be used. It's interchangeable. In fact, you'll see this as he goes on. In fact, he says, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. Here it is. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. What was he worried about? There was difficult times, there was trials, there were testing. And in that temptation to maybe pull away, have you ever been there? Have you ever felt that way when you were in a deep trial? Man, God doesn't love me. And I've seen people walk away from the faith. And what is that? That's the tempter. And that's why it's in the prayer, because he knew he'd have to deal with this. Would it be okay to pray to the Holy Spirit to protect us in temptation? To protect us from the evil one? To lead us away from influences or situations that might tempt us to sin, or that might be too much for us, if 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true? Let's go back to James 1. We read that God does not tempt us. Now the writer is going to declare to us how temptation works. And as I read this, I want you to think about David and Bathsheba. We all know the story, right? And how he fell into sin. See if it follows this progression. And then we're going to apply it to ourselves. Verse 14. But each one is tempted. This is how you're tempted. When he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Starts with a thought. Starts with a desire. Can it be a good desire? Yeah. Here's one. The scripture says it's not good that man be alone. You ever been lonely? You ever been in a situation where you're by yourself? Can you be vulnerable during those times? Yeah, and the enemy knows that. And you're going to see that. We're going to look at how Jesus was tempted. He was tempted the same way. He was vulnerable as well. He was tempted when he was drawn away by his own desires. Now, notice something here. Temptation is not sin. If temptation was sin, then Jesus couldn't be the Lamb of God, because he was tempted, but without sin. So temptation is not sin. Now, here again, the enemy's going to come and whisper in your ear, isn't he? That argument, oh, listen, if you're having thoughts like that, if you're stumbling, if you're being tempted like that, you must not be a Christian. No, if people knew about your temptations, he wants you to believe temptation is sin. It is not sin, but you must understand the progression and how it works. We start with the desire, and then we're enticed. And then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Now, did you see that with David? David, we know what happened to him. He was on the rooftop. He saw Bathsheba. Okay, he was tempted, wasn't he? He had a desire. He was enticed. And then he conceived. Now, he's using the analogy of childbirth, isn't he? There's a seed that's planted in us. And then, after a while, still not sin yet, but then it gives birth to sin. That's bad enough. But when sin is full grown, what does it bring? It brings death. Is that true in our lives as Christians? It can. What happened with David? Well, let's see. Bathsheba's husband was murdered by the king. He was set up. That's death. What happened to the baby? The baby died. There was death. But I've seen other kinds of death with sin in Christians' lives. I've seen death of marriages. I've seen homes break up. I've seen businesses fall apart. I've seen ministries crumble, all because of sin. Just like exactly what James is talking about. When someone falls and all the cards fall around them. That's death. That's the fruit of sin. And that's the progression of sin. Now let's look at Jesus here in Luke 4. He was tempted. And I think we can learn from Jesus' temptation, because he didn't do anything you can't do. And I believe this is our model. Jesus was showing us when temptation comes, because it will, how are we going to deal with it? And in Luke 4, of course, as we said, Jesus, after this great spiritual experience. And here's something you need to note. Temptation is never greater than after you've made a public declaration. Go get water baptized and see what happens to you the next day. The devil's waiting. He's waiting because you just made a declaration, right? Did Jesus make a declaration? Man, he was baptized in the Jordan. A dove came down and declared, hey, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. His ministry was just now beginning. And what was waiting for him right out of the chute? Temptation. The demon, the devil, Lucifer himself was waiting for him. And you need to know. In fact, I think I shared this. Dr. Dobson said that pastors are most vulnerable on Mondays to temptation. I wonder why that is. Because, man, Sunday, man, it's great getting to be with God's people, and you deliver the word, and you get to pray with people. It's wonderful. The enemy's just waiting right around the corner. That's why I make Monday Connie's day. She's my buffer. She's my, you know, I want that day. I got to watch that day. It's true. Statistically, it's true. It's true for you. Whenever you have a high point, the enemy is not going to sit idly by and just let that happen. And so we see truth number six here, and that is that we are called to resist the devil. We are called to resist the devil, and Jesus shows us how. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, Matthew puts these in a different order than Luke. No big deal. It's just a different order, okay? He says, and he being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Now, Luke seems to suggest Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Matthew seems to suggest it was after the 40 days. Whatever. All right. We know he fasted for 40 days. Anybody here fasted for 40 days? All right. I think a week's been my limit. You know, that was, I can't imagine, 40 days, all right? But he was seeking the Father. The Holy Spirit led him there. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, some would translate that, since you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Wow. Now remember, Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are. Is that right? Hebrews 4, is that true? All right, so this must be relevant to us. He was tempted just in all points, just like we are. Three temptations. This first temptation, I believe, is the lust of the flesh. This first temptation, the enemy's coming after him. He's hungry. The enemy's not an idiot. He knows where you're vulnerable. And there are seasons we go through when we are more vulnerable than other times. And you need to be aware and know. And that's why you need accountability. That's why you need people around you. Because things can happen. And the worst thing you just think, it can't happen to you, but it can. And here Jesus is hungry and the enemy knows it. And he comes with this temptation. It's that physical craving, the provision. Satan tempts Jesus to satisfy a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. And that's what he'll try to do, to use his power to gratify his own need. It can happen sexually. You know, again, our sexual desires, are they from God? Yeah, legitimate, aren't they? But watch out, they can be fulfilled in illegitimate ways. And the enemy knows that. He'll take something it's a desire. God, you ever wonder why God made us this way? I've sometimes quit, God, you made this really hard on me. Right? Is it true? Am I the only one? You know, it's difficult. And the enemy, he knows everything you know. And now, three P's. I'm just going to give you three P's for the three temptations. First one is provision. It's the temptation of provision. He's hungry. Hey, just turn these stones into bread. And listen, there were a lot of stones out there. Let me tell you, there have been a lot of bread. The enemy's tempting him in that area. Then what happened? What's the next temptation? And of course, Jesus says, hey, he uses the word of God. We're going to come back to that. And the devil taking him up, then he took him up on a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Jesus answered him and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What's this one? This is the plan. The enemy's trying to come against the plan. Because in Psalms 2, Jesus was promised everything that the devil's promising him. But he was going to get it through the cross. And the enemy is tempting him for an easier way, isn't he? He's tempting him to have power and control over others, to worship. Who are you going to worship? Who is it you're going to love? Something other than God. And he's saying to him, you don't have to go to the cross. I'll give it to you free. All you got to do is worship me. The plan of God is often challenged in our lives. And the enemy wants you to take a shortcut. Don't do it. What's the third temptation? Then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Brian, give me a picture of that when you go a couple weeks. It's the southeast corner of the temple. It's about 500 feet in the air. He said to him, if you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, wait a minute. The devil's using scripture? Yeah. You know, you can make the Bible say about anything you want. If you take it out of context, you can always make a pretext out of it. That's what the enemy does. Doesn't the Bible say? And he quotes from Psalms 91. And you know what's so interesting about Psalms 91? It's about angels. What did Satan used to be? He knows this mission. And he quotes from it because it was part of his job description before. He says to Jesus, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Stop. And then he says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against something interesting. He left out a line. Oh, that sneaky guy. He left out one line of that scripture that changes everything. Because that scripture says, as you go on your way, as you're on your way, as you're living your life, you don't step out on a truck and try to test God. See, hey, God says he's going to protect me. I'm going to step out in front of this Mack truck. Would that be stupid? Be a stupid thing. This is the P of protection. And so oftentimes, you know, the enemy's tempting us. Well, if God really loved you, he would protect you. And here it says you go on your way. It says you live your life. God is going to take care of us. He's going to be with us. Is he? You don't have to do stupid stuff like that. In your hands, he will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And it says we live out our lives. What does Jesus say? It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until another opportune time. Here are four ways Jesus overcame temptation. They're available to you. Number one, commit portions of scripture to memory. This is important. How many think you're not good at that? You're believing a lie because I can memorize commercials I heard 30 years ago. Is it true? Yeah, I can. They're still in my head. I can't. There's things that music, things set the music. You can listen. The enemy tells you, you can't memorize scripture. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And listen, you're going to need it. If you're being tempted, you're going to need to call up the Word of God. And so that's one thing you do. Jesus kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. Now, he could have just called fire down out of heaven and cleaned the slate. He didn't do that. Because he was modeling for us, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Secondly, meditate on scripture. Don't just memorize it. Meditate on it and let God speak fresh to you. That was the first temptation. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Now what did it say? That proceeds from the mouth of God. Not proceeded. We're talking fresh bread here. We're talking fresh bread. Yeah, something along. Yeah, God's bringing it fresh today. Right now, God is going to speak right now today to you. How many of you say you've never heard from God? I'll tell you why. Because you don't put yourself in a position to hear. Because God is speaking all the time. And you just take this book and you lay it in your lap and you take a scripture and you memorize it. That's great. But then meditate on it. The word meditate is like a cow chewing his cud. I don't mean to gross you out, but he swallows it, spits it back up, swallows it, spits it back up. Actually, in sheep, they take grass and they keep doing that. And they say chemically it turns to protein. After they do that, so God wants us to have meat. He'll take that, turn it into protein for us, right? You got to meditate on it. Meditate, think about it. That's what we've done with the Lord's Prayer. See, it's become part of us now. We don't have to think about it. If I said to Dawn on the piano over here, give me a C chord, would she have to go, oh, let me say C chord, C chord, C chord? I said, no. Now me, show me the C chord. Okay, let me get my fingers right. You get to the place, you don't even think about it. Is that right? It's just automatic. Is that true, Andrew? I'm just amazed watching people play. I said, man, that's the way you can do with scripture too. Fresh bread. Don't live on the... I hear people all the time give testimonies. 40 years ago, God did... Well, I'm glad about that, but I'm more interested in what God's doing for you right now today. Keep it fresh. God wants it fresh. It's not stale bread. Three, when tempted, quote scriptures out loud. See, what's the difference? I don't know, but I'm telling you it works. Quote scriptures out, rebuke the devil out loud. See, I'll just do it in my mind. No, say it out loud. Jesus saw it. Why didn't Jesus just think it? No, he said it. He spoke it. Your spoken word is powerful. It brings life or death. So speak the word of God. Speak the truth. Say it out loud. Sometimes you just need to rebuke the devil. You say, oh, I feel awkward doing that. Yeah, think how he feels. Say, I just rebuke you, devil. Get away from me. Do it. And then put the scriptures with it. Declare. And number four, make fasting and prayer a rhythm of your life. You want to win over temptation? Make fasting. That's what Jesus was doing. He had fasted. He was fasting and praying. I don't care how you fast. I know different ways to fast. But what he's saying is spend time with God. Separate yourself. Cut some things out. Spend time. Get before God and pray. In other words, prepare yourself for what's coming. That's why you practice the fire drill. You don't wait for the fire. You want to be ready. Amen? 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. I believe it's true. I don't have time to read it, but Ephesians 6, you all know it, verses 10 through 18. What is that scripture? It's about what? It's about warfare. It's about the armor of God. Temptation is war. Let me tell you, it's a battle. That's why it's a test and a trial. And if you read Ephesians 6, hey, why don't you start there with your meditation this week? Take Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, read it, memorize it, meditate on it. First thing it says is, hey, listen, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Do you believe that? See, we're too busy blaming people, fighting people. Listen, the devil, he did it to Jesus. He was tempted in all points just as like we are. He went through the same things we're going through. He's constantly going to come after us. He's constantly going to be making the arguments. What do? You put on the whole armor of God. Read every piece. You can't leave one piece off. God's provided it. He's trying to tell you we're not going to be on a church picnic. He's trying to tell us this is not the park or the zoo. This is war. This is war, and he's coming. And Paul said, he said to the church in Thessalonica, didn't he? Hey, listen, I told you it was going to happen. I told you. I was concerned, though, that the enemy was going to come. It happened just like I said, didn't it? Because he knew this is what we can expect. Well, here's the last one, number 7, real quick. Just take me a few minutes. This is important. Temptation. Understand this truth. Resisting temptation brings growth and strength in your life. I'm telling you it does. In James 1, 2 through 4, and verse 12. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Remember, that can be same word. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. How's that going to happen? Through trials and testing. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Word endure means to remain under without being crushed. Hey, you're going to have to endure temptation. Sorry. Just want you to know the truth about temptation. It's going to happen. You're going to have to remain under without being crushed. You're going to come through it. And guess what? Here it is. And when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who loved him. And a scripture that really moves my heart in Luke 4, after Jesus was tempted, we read it. We read verse 13, right? I like this. The devil had ended the temptation. How many know there's seasons of temptations in our life? It's not always constant. Comes and goes. But it says he departed from him until a more opportune time. Remember, the enemy's not an idiot. Know what those opportune times are. Be prepared for them, all right? The devil will come and go in your life. Temptations will come and go. There are seasons. But verse 14, after Jesus went through this whole thing, it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out through all the surrounding region. What? He became strong in the spirit by going through it. He went through it. He was victorious, right? You say, well, what's that picture up there of the butterfly? Have you ever been to Branson? You've been to the little butterfly museum? Huh? I was drugged there once. Yeah, I didn't want to go. I want to go to a rodeo or something. I don't want to go see butterflies. Oh, come on, it'll be fun. Grandkids will love it. So we go in there. It was cool. It was cool. They had a nursery in there for butterflies. It was really neat. They're flying all over the place, landing on you. Ah! You know, some man I am, right? Get that thing off me. But they're cute. But they had this nursery, and the lady told us a story in the nursery. They had the progression of these butterflies. We know they're a caterpillar, and then they get into the cocoon, right? And in the cocoon, some cool stuff's happening, but you can't see it. But it's going on. And before the cocoon breaks open, you could see these cocoons are moving. They're just going everywhere. And she said, we had an idea once that we would help them along and see if we could speed up the process. And so they took a little knife and they split the cocoon. And sure enough, it sped up the process. And that butterfly came out. Only one problem. It couldn't fly. It never flew. Looked good, but couldn't fly. Because here's the reality. When you go through temptation, it's preparing you to fly. Because the struggle is the endurance that builds patience in us. And then we become complete. Isn't that what the scripture says? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing through the struggle. So next time temptation comes your way, you might get a little excited. Hey, maybe I'm going to get to fly through this. And the final few words of the prayer, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's our last P. We've circled it. Power. 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 We end where we started. Now, you need to know that Jesus probably didn't say those words. Some of the most earliest manuscripts do not include it. So probably some scribe added it. Oh, is that bad? It's like a doxology, right? Why would he add something like that? Well, the words are nonetheless true. In fact, in Revelation 5, where we were reading this morning, John the Revelator, he said that he heard the creatures in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that was in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise, honor, glory, and power forever and ever. So these are biblical words, but they got attached in here to this prayer. Is it okay? I think some scribe thought this would be a great way to end this prayer. Let's end it with this doxology. And I think it's probably, for me, I think it's good. And we're going to come to the table this morning. It's the table of power. And we're going to declare with all of heaven this beautiful prayer, which ends with this doxology. Now, this is also a way to know if you're Protestant or not. If you're ever saying the Lord's Prayer and you're around some of our Catholic brothers and sisters, they leave that off, don't they? And then you're standing there saying words and nobody else is saying it. That's why, okay? But I love the words anyway. I like them. I think it's a great way to end the prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Maybe that's just us responding to the prayer. We're saying, yes, this is our conclusion. And we agree with John the Revelator that this power and this glory is forever and ever. And that's how we're going to live the prayer. Amen? Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to share with my friends. And Lord, as we conclude this prayer, our hearts are moved by all of its content. And probably there's more that we weren't even able to discover yet. But as we meditate more on it, I think you'll speak more. But Lord, we conclude today realizing how powerful this prayer is, because it shows us your heart for us. We thank you for the position we have as sons and daughters. Lord, we want to live our lives in a way that reflects your holiness and that we praise and lift up your name in everything we do and say. We thank you for the kingdom that's come and your will being done as it already is in heaven. I pray that the purpose and plan and planting will continue in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the daily bread and the attitude of providential provision in this very present day. And Lord, I thank you for the pardon this prayer brings to us, that we have been forgiven an impossible debt, and now it makes us forgiving people. And Lord, we declare today your protection over our lives. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know what's coming. Would you help us get through it? Would you guide us and lead us in ways that we will be successful as we grow and become perfected in the faith through trials and tribulations? And Lord, thank you for the power that you've made available to us. For Lord, without your power, we couldn't do anything. But with it, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that is where we stand today. And we worship you in this truth. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen, amen. We're going to invite you this morning to come to the table. It's an open table. If you don't have to be a member of this church to partake. If you're a believer, if you're a son or daughter of God, you can come to this table. You won't be turned away. But this, I want you to know, this is a table of power. If this hadn't happened, we wouldn't be able to do all the things we're talking about today. But because of this, we can stand in victory today. Amen? And we're going to take this bread. I want you to take your time. Let God speak to you as you take that bread and dip it in the cup. Don't just be flippant about it like it's just something we do. In fact, you might want to sit it out. Maybe this Sunday, God wants you to sit it out because maybe he's doing some things. I don't know. But just listen to his voice today, amen? But I invite you to come, dip the cup, be thankful, be grateful, and leave at this table anything you need because God's power is forever and ever. This is forever. and we get to participate in it today. Amen. God bless you as you come. Would you stand with me, please? I have to go do a wedding, but I got time. I spaced it just right, so I don't have to run off right away. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never given your life to Him. Maybe you've been trying to clean yourself up and get ready. Well, if you do that, you'll never come. We come in our brokenness to Him, and He receives us just the way we are. If you're here today, this is your day. And you know God is speaking to your heart. We want to pray with you. If you're here, now thank God for people like Ilona who go out outside the church. We give the invitation here. She's out at Walmart giving the invitation. She's at Walgreens giving the invitation. She's out on the street giving it. We can give this invitation wherever we are, not just in church. God will take us wherever we are, however we are. He wants to receive us. That's His heart today. And He's so sad that we reject Him at times. I pray today that would not be true. Maybe you've rejected Him a long time, and today's your day to open your heart to Him. This prayer is for you. It's all available to you. This whole prayer is yours. It's for His children. And you, and He wants to adopt you if you'll let Him. If you'll let Him. If you're here today and you need healing in your body, Ilona be here to pray too. She prays for the sick everywhere, all the time. And she wants to pray for you today. If you would like her to lay hands on you and pray for you, I believe God's given her a gift of healing, and you can receive that today. Amen. We'll anoint you with oil, pray the prayer of faith. Maybe you just need encouragement. Maybe you're wrestling with a temptation today, and you feel like it's kind of getting the best of you. We want to apply these seven truths in your life today. We'll help you do it. Maybe we'll pray today, but then we're going to walk with you maybe through this week. Because sometimes having some people with you, that'll make the difference. It will. In fact, I told the devil once, I used to have this temptation. And I said, "Devil, every time you tempt me with this, I'm going to call these three people. And I'm going to tell them. And they're going to pray for me." Well, he tested me. He did it. I called him. Did it again. I called him again. And we started worshiping and praising God. Finally, the devil figured it out. I need to stop doing that. He's just going to worship with these people if I do that. Start to draw the line. Stand up. Stand up like Jesus. You do not have to be afraid. The enemy was defeated at Calvary. He was disarmed. That's what the Bible says. You say, "Well, where did he get his bullets?" You gave them to him. We arm him, and then he shoots us with our own bullets. You need to stop giving him opportunity. Stop. It's time to rise up and let God use temptation and testing and trial in your life to make you strong and help you fly to heights you've never been before. Amen? You can look at temptation a whole new way. You might even be a little excited about it. That'd be something. Bring it on. Bring it on. Amen. Wish I hadn't come today. Listen, we're going to pray together. Amen? Let God just move in your heart. Father, we receive this word. I receive it. I receive it. As I prepared it, I received it, Lord. In my own heart, I pray be true for this congregation. We thank you for Ilona being here today and challenging us. Lord, we're just ready to move out. We're ready to move from this place and be what we're supposed to be, do what we're supposed to do. I know the enemy's going to try to stop us just like he did you. He's going to offer shortcuts. He's going to tempt us, but we're going to resist the same way Jesus did. Lord, thank you for the example. Help us to walk in it this week. This week. This week. We're going to apply this message in our lives in Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.